So this evening we have reading two books. The first one is Matthew 19, verse 14. I'm reading. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not stop them, for it is to such as this that the kingdom of heaven belongs." Amen. And the second reading will be from the book of Mark, from chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. People were bringing children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them, for it is to such as this that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as the little child will never enter it." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
I am adding one more scripture reading to what has just been read. So I'm going to read also Matthew chapter 18, verses 1 to 4. I think from the NRSVA. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" He called a child, whom he put among them, and said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word. Amen, amen. Good evening, KTLCC. It's good to be able to serve you. I'm Pastor Claudeth, and it is a deep privilege to serve you this evening by preaching the word of God. I do not deserve the privilege, and it is a privilege. I trust that you will really hear God this evening. So three beautiful scriptures, and my title is Run for Cover. Each of those scriptures is quite remarkable to me. God is talking about children, and God is telling his disciples and anyone who's listening that the kingdom of heaven belongs to the children. That unless you come as a child, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. And because as a church, we are, we've been studying the kingdom of God. We're moving in a vision that's teaching us how to walk in the kingdom of God and how to live in God's kingdom. I found it quite intriguing. Three scriptural examples about God, about children, and about the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the book of Matthew, it talks about the kingdom of heaven. Other books talk about the kingdom of God, but it's the same thing. They're talking about the kingdom who has the king that we serve and that we follow, King Jesus. I just wanted to remind us about what the kingdom is. Number one, God's rule and authority. This is what we've been learning about. It has a king whom we have dedicated our lives to. This kingdom also consists of righteousness. And that's a story within itself. That's a whole sermon. What is righteousness? What is it to live in right standing with Jesus Christ? It consists of peace, which the world craves. The world craves peace. Individual people crave the peace of God over our situations. And nations crave the peace of God. And yet we have been learning that this is the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, which the Bible tells us is our strength. And the kingdom of God is much more than these things too. We see how important it is that Jesus takes time to teach about his kingdom using children to demonstrate how we should live. Today, I want us to think of the kingdom of God as our cover. I said run for cover. It's a place where we belong. We're citizens. We're part of it. This kingdom. Covered by it. I'm just going to begin to speak a little bit about children. The very little that I may know about them. I remember being one. I've never had one, a child, so I don't know some particulars and peculiarities and things. I have godchildren. I have spiritual children. But growing up or being a mother and watching a child develop and grow has not been my portion. But let me have a go. And so I want to remind us that when we're speaking about children in the context of what Jesus is doing, this is an ideal world. But the world is not ideal, is it? The world is full of brokenness and pain. And sadly, our children are party to that, are touched by it, are influenced by it. But the children, the scripture said, but for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven, in Matthew 19, to such, to those who are like children, and to children, of course, belongs. Belongs means either is the property of. So children are the property of the kingdom. Or it means is a member of. So children and us are members of the kingdom of the living God. So let me give you an example. You join a new church. You settle in and you make friends. And a time comes where you feel suddenly like this is where you belong. Or you are a person who has or who was adopted as a child. And even though later on you may understand you were not born into that family biologically, you know this is where you belong. This is where you were nurtured, where you were loved, where you were brought up. So belonging is important. And the Lord was trying to show that these children he used as samples or examples of what he was expressing belong to him and belong in his kingdom. Can we testify to that? Before I go further on, I thought to look at some stories of children in the Bible. They've been an important part of life. Accepted by Christ, by God the Father, and used of God too. That's why those scriptures say, do not hinder the children when they come. He told his disciples off for trying to stop them from coming and being blessed by him. I think about Miriam. She was the sister of Moses. When Moses' mother decided to put him in a basket and send him into the river to hide him from death, his sister, she was still a child. She was the one who took Moses, and she was the one who let him out onto the river, and she was the one who watched to see what would happen to her brother. So here was a child being used of God to perpetuate his will and his purpose for what would become the nation of Israel. I think about young Samuel. Was very difficult. He was the wanted child that his mother, Hannah, couldn't have. I get confused with Hannah and Anna sometimes. Hannah. But when God did give Samuel to Hannah, she gave him to God after she weaned him. So he went into the house of Eli, into the temple, and he served there. But he was a boy, learning how to serve God. You know, he served the kingdom of Israel for over 40 years or so, I think. That's all he did all his life. But as a boy, he was in bed and he was called by God. And at the third time, Eli said to him, "The next time you hear your name being called, say, 'Speak, Lord, for I am listening.'" So from a boy, he received instructions from God. Are children able to be used of God? Yeah. Does the kingdom of heaven belong to them? Yes. And then we have the young David. Before he was the one who slew Goliath, and he was still quite young then, he spent his time as a shepherd. But during that time of protecting his father's sheep, he was getting to know the Lord. He was spending time with God. He was building his relationship with the Lord that caused him to be the one to live and obey God throughout most of his days. All of those psalms that he wrote came out of those early years of spending time with and trusting God. This morning, if you were listening to 9/11, you'd have heard about Josiah, the king that served over Judah. Josiah was 8 years old when he became the king. 8. Which king on earth do you know is 8 years old? But God used him. He remained faithful to God. He remained righteous. He was the one God used to tear down the idols that his people had been serving. A young boy. Jeremiah, the prophet, protested when God first spoke to him that he would be sent to do the will of God. He said, "But I am a youth." But God used him and he obeyed. He gave up his life and served God from young, obeying God, the kingdom of heaven belonging to these. And what about in the New Testament, 5,000 men plus women and children were fed from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes that belonged to a little boy. All through the Bible, we see the place and the belonging of children. And we see God's hand upon their lives and the power of God in being able to use them. But if they have a place in the kingdom, what about us? What is it saying to us as adults? What does it mean to change and become like a child? It's talking about our attitude. So, do we carry the attitude of childlikeness? In some of the Bible notes that I was reading in the ESV on Mark chapter 15 there, it says, receiving God's kingdom like a child means accepting it in a simple and wholehearted way, so as to turn from sin. So you think of the innocence of a child that hears the message and says, yes, And he wants us always to be like children, saying yes, turning away from the things that he doesn't want us to do. Receiving Christ as our Savior, the one who is the forgiver. The childlike attitude, relying on him as Lord, running for cover. Who's the leader of our lives? And following God as our Heavenly Father. We need, as adults, to be childlike. We are, after all, called God's children. Why do we take our lives and move away from his will and his plans and try to do the things that we think we should do? Even adult children still go to their elderly parents for assurance and advice in life. My mum is 90 and a half years old and in bed, but her mind is great and I still run things by her. We talk about the Lord together so I can still learn from her. I'm her child. She's still my mom. We're children of God. So what is it to be childlike? What are some of the distinguishing factors about children? They tend to be needy or have needs. Of course they do. They're young. They can't cook. They can't do this. They need advice. In adults, our need for the Lord should keep us humble. Like children, they don't run and say, oh my goodness, I'm so embarrassed to ask for help. They just ask because they need. But we struggle to come, to run for cover, to run for help because we think we know it all. We're big people. No, we're still his children. Children, remember I said in an ideal world, children tend to be honest. When children lie, they've learned it in general from somewhere or somebody. But they tend to be honest. What are we like before God? Are we honest about where we're at, what we're going through, what needs to change, or do we run from him instead of to him? Children are dependent on, and they tend to trust. They tend to be easily led. Some adults don't trust at all. Some adults don't easily trust. And these things happen because of things that have happened in our past. So we become wary. But God wants us to trust him, even in our most vulnerable times and moments. Some trust only particular people. Let me give you an example. There are about three people in KT on staff who I trust to move my car in the car park. Sometimes we have to fit in 12 cars in there, and they may be telling me to edge forward, move the car here, turn it there. And I don't have to look at what I'm doing. I just trust because I know they're not going to let me scratch my car or somebody else's. But I wouldn't ask everybody because I know who to trust in that scenario. Do we know how to trust God in every situation? Just like children. Children, they're also ready to be molded. And when we sing songs like, shape me, mold me, do we really mean to shape us? Or do we really mean, this is what I want to be like, so fit in with it, God? But children will be molded and shaped easily. They're like sponges. They want to learn and they look up to others who can help them. Just as an aside, these are reasons also why we must instill right thinking in the children that we have in our sphere. Because the world out there is challenging God's ways, challenging how children should think, giving them ideas that never came from heaven and that are not part of the kingdom that we are part of and that we live in. We need to be praying for our children. We need to be moving against agendas that are turning them away and leading them astray. Because like sponges, they will receive and take in and learn. Back to trust. A child just trusts a father or a mother to know what to do. I was thinking about this a few weeks ago, where children will ask a father or a mother to a question. They just expect that the parent knows the answer. They have a situation and they go to find out how to get out of it or how it's dealt with. They just expect their parent to know the answer. They have no idea that a parent might be feeling inadequate, has no idea what to answer, what to say. But the child trusts that daddy's got it, that mummy knows it all. Can we trust our Father in heaven, who does have it all, who does know every answer? Can we run to our Father for cover to that kingdom? If you're scared, and if a child is scared, what does a child do? It runs away, it runs from the thing it's scared of. But it's trying to run somewhere for cover, for safety. If you can laugh at me, Shanta. If I'm in a room where there's lots of balloons, I know they're going to bang. I don't like balloons. I hate them. I don't like to see them because they remind me that they're going to pop and explode, and it'll make me run because I don't like loud bangs. I don't like thunderstorms. I don't like things that crash around me due to things that happened in the past. So I will pick up my 2 feet and run. If I see a spider in my house or a rat or a mouse on the street, I would run. Something that scares you makes you run. Oftentimes, now you'll know. But children will be scared and will run, but they're trying to get to a place of safety and protection. There are a series of videos that are out at the moment and I enjoy watching in my spare time where somebody starts screaming and they run out of a block of flats. Nobody knows why they're screaming, but they begin to scream and follow until a whole group of people are running and screaming. Not one person has any idea why they're screaming or running, but they're all scared together because nobody took the time to find out that it was a prank. But it tells you that if somebody's scared, you're going to run. You're going to move away from that thing that looks dangerous. They go to a place where they can be safe, where they can be protected. They're running for cover. And that's what God wants us to do. There is a preacher who's alive still. He's one of my favorite preachers, but he has the funniest story of when he was a five-year-old boy. He was very naughty in the USA, really naughty little boy. And he troubled a boy. And they lived in the south of America where there were guns and stuff going. You know, the families, the parents had guns. He troubled a boy. He put his head down at a toilet, one of those outside toilets. And the boy was going to kill him. And the boy's father came for him. And he ran for help to his mother, who's a big lady and had a gun. And she ran out and took. And that father stopped. And this little naughty boy went behind his mum. Na, 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 because he knew he was now safe. He knew he was in a place of protection and safety. And that his mum wasn't going to let any harm come to him until she got him in the house later on for being naughty. So children know where to go for help. What about the scenarios with children are lost in the supermarket? How many times have you seen the screaming child, mommy, mommy, or the mummy or the daddy looking for the child? And when they're reconciled, they're safe. But look at this one, the prodigal son. He went back after his long stint away because he had nothing. And he was going back to his father, you know, ashamed and humble to come and be a servant. But his father ran to him and covers him. The kingdom of God covers us. His father covered him. He returned to arms of acceptance and arms of safety. So children run for cover to the place of safety, where the answers are, where they receive relief and somehow are upheld. This is what the Lord is talking about. Can we live in this childlike attitude towards God continually? Can we, adults, as well as the children in our sphere, really understand that when we run to God, we're running for cover, we're running to Jesus for cover? For everything must become our norm. Running to him for everything, running to the kingdom for everything. Living in his kingdom is where we're placed, where we belong. There we are covered. It should be our norm in the difficult situations and in the simple situations that we turn to cover. We run for cover in everything. Glory to Jesus. The kingdom of God, we've been learning, is something that doesn't really leave me. And any other preachers around the world, anywhere that I listen to, and they say something about the kingdom, I want to hear what they're saying. I want to know more and more about the kingdom that I'm a part of. We have received it within us. Jesus said the kingdom is within us. Living in it we are already. And therefore we can run to its benefits. Joy, peace, salvation, love, mercy, grace, provision. We can run to the benefits of the kingdom. We can be covered by the kingdom and be continually covered by him. So the kingdom is a present reality within us now, if we're born again. I'll come back to that. It's a present reality. We have access to God's kingdom all of the time. And we have the future hope through eternity. Now, why can we therefore run for cover? His word says in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." His church is built upon him. The kingdom is already victorious. The only question is, are we living like citizens of the king and his kingdom? Very peculiarly, I sometimes find myself in places where I take family members with me and people know I'm a pastor. And in those scenarios, I'm treated a little bit differently. And my sister, one of my sisters noticed a few times now, she said, you sort of command blessings and people do good for you. They find nice seats for us in venues and it's almost like privilege. But that is the truth, isn't it? Not because I'm a pastor, but because we're children of God. We should be walking in the privilege of the benefits of the kingdom. And they should affect our everyday life. So we tend to dip in and dip out. One minute we're in the flesh, and then we connect again to the things of the kingdom. How do we stay there? People come to the United Kingdom to visit and then they leave again. As citizens, we should not visit the kingdom of God, but live in it, with it, like a heartbeat within us that never stops, reminding us who we are, what we belong to, what the benefits are. Hallelujah. The one we run to, thank him, yeah, praise his name. The one we run to is described in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 14, like this. I'm reading from the Living Bible, so it's Isaiah chapter 40, verses 12 to 14. Who else has held the oceans in his hands? It's in a song as well, isn't it? And measured off the heavens with his ruler. Who can measure the heavens? Who else knows the weight of all the earth and weighs the mountains and the hills? Who can advise the Spirit of the Lord or be his teacher or give him counsel? Has he ever needed anyone's advice? Did he need instruction as to what is right and best? Now, the one we run to needs no instruction. The one we run to has everything in the palm of his hands. Everything. When we run for cover because things are difficult or because we just need his presence, we have everything, access to that cover of his kingdom. We need to be childlike, running for cover to God for both the simplest and the most complex of situations, because he can handle them all. I'd like the worship team to get ready, please. Do you have keep me or run for cover scriptures like I do? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, don't worry about anything. Do not worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. It says, tell God your needs and don't forget to thank him for his prayers. That's one of my run for cover scriptures. Not to worry about anything. Verse 7 of Philippians 4 says, if you do this, you will experience God's peace. That's his kingdom, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Jesus Christ. That's one of my keep me. Keep me, Lord. One of my run for cover scriptures. The power of peace to keep my heart and my mind. Recently, I went through some difficulty emotionally and affected my mind. I ran for cover, not just to the word, but to those who could help to show me how to allow the word to carry me out of the situation and into a place of healing. I ran for cover and I was covered and healed. Only the word could do that. Only something of the kingdom of God could set me free and hold me. Another go-to or run-for-cover scripture I like is 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, Claudette, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So next time I walk through a room full of balloons, what should I remember? But in all honesty, I have experienced fearlessness in situations that are difficult. I was in a nation where there was gang warfare, and I was taken to an area of great trouble. I had no fear. Nothing was going to happen to me. I was going to go and talk to some people and help them. In those types of scenarios, I have no fear. I could go to places that others wouldn't go to and take risks because Jesus is with me and his kingdom is. Never mind a stupid balloon. Or another scripture. You can come up, Tim. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How many times are you lonely? How many times have you been rejected, dejected, frustrated because things just aren't working out and nobody seems to care or understand or hear your cry? But the Lord says, I will not leave you, in John 14, verse 18, orphans. I will come to you. Like the prodigal's father ran to him to cover him. There's something about me desiring that we would understand. No human being on the face of this earth, no pastor, no doctor, can really solve, help, lift, or hold us. We must learn to run for cover. God will use a donkey, a doctor. He will use whatever is necessary to bring his kingdom to our lives to make a difference. I'm not negating the help and the love of human beings. I'm saying we go first. We run for cover of his kingdom. I have also, and maybe you have, because we stay rooted in the word, and that word belongs to the kingdom that is victorious. He is the kingdom. But I also have keep me songs, or songs that help me to run for cover. There's a song, and I do like the oldies. I will run to you, and I will run to you. To your words of truth, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of God. When you sing songs like that, it takes you towards him and towards his truth. My current one, which carried me over these few months of whatever it was I was going through, is by Hillsong, called One Thing. The second verse says, in the day of trouble, you cover me. In the secret place of refuge, Lord, I will sing. I'm going to ask the worship team to minister a song to us now, and then I'll come back. It's called Made Me Glad, and it declares that he is our shield and our strength. He is our fortress, our deliverer, our shelter, our strong tower, our very present help. The kingdom is now in us. Our very present help in time of need.